episode of Geo Talk, we head over to New Zealand for a mega event. We get a milestone called in from Rome, and we ask, what type of software do you use if you're on a Mac? All this and more on Geo Talk. Welcome to episode 101 of Geo Talk for November 2013. I'm your host, Darren from the Spin Doctors here in Sydney, Australia. Welcome to the podcast. If this is your first time, thanks for joining us. And if it's your 101st, thanks for sticking around. Don't forget that there's a number of ways in which you can contact Geo Talk. First of all, there is our webpage at www.geotalkpodcast.com. You can also find us on Facebook at facebook.com/geotalk. Don't need the podcast on the end. And if you want to send in anything, any feedback or any questions, comments, milestones, even a story, if you want to put together a story, don't forget that you can email us at geotalkpodcast@gmail.com. You can also send in a voicemail, and at the moment you can send that on 02-800-50-436. Now, I say at the moment because we're going to go through a few changes over the next couple of months, and one of the things is we are dropping the phone number. It doesn't get a huge number of calls, and to be honest, we could probably use Skype or some other technology. So that number will be around for a few more months, but if you haven't used it, why don't you give it a go? You just leave a voicemail and see what happens. You might appear on GeoTalk very soon. Now, I have two confessions to make before we go any further. The first one is that pesky noise, or that pesky sort of weird effect that's been going on over the last couple of episodes, I've actually found out what happened. And my apologies to Two Goth Geeks and anyone else who's been troubled with it. It took me ages to work out what had happened, but it was a setting on the master track as the file was exporting, because I use GarageBand on the Mac. And unfortunately, somehow, either myself or one of my kids, when they were playing on the computer one day, changed the output to psychedelic, which would describe why we get that Beatlesque type of from left to right sort of thing going on. Anyway, it's been fixed. I've gone back and fixed the last five or six episodes because that's what I still had saved. Apologies if any of the earlier ones are still out, but this one, as well as the last one, should be all right. Now, the other confession I have to make is this was going to be the very last episode of GeoTalk. I had been thinking about it for about 12 months, and of course, soon after I started thinking about it, I came down sick with this tumour, but fortunately, the tumour is still at bay. And Alan over in New Zealand has talked me into continuing on. So we may not be as regular as we used to be, so we may not appear every month. And to be honest, we may not be the same length every month either. So we'll always keep it at no more than about 30, 35 minutes. But some episodes, they may be quite short. They may be 5 or 10 minutes. Other ones might go the full half hour. We'll also have probably more text articles as well that will appear on the website, and that will mean some upgrading of the website. So keep your eyes open, check out the website over the next couple of months, and also keep subscribed to us, whether it's through iTunes or through any other podcasting software, of changes that will be happening to the GeoTalk podcast. Now, as I mentioned in the intro, this episode we're heading over to Auckland, courtesy of Radio Nut 50, aka Alan, and his wife Linda, Butterfied Lady, and they'll be taking us to the New Zealand Mega Event. It's quite a long audio piece, and it's quite interesting if you want to get a bit of a taste of what happened at that event. So that'll be coming up a little bit later on. But before I do, I've got a few questions I want to ask. I've got two computers. I've got one that's a netbook that's a few years old now, getting close to 4 years old, that runs Windows, and I primarily got it to run GSAC, and also have an iMac. Now, I've found that recently I've come across some software called iCaching, which is on the Mac, and it recently got upgraded in the last couple of months, and I must say I'm really impressed with it. Now, it's not a copy of GSAC. It's very similar, although when I showed a friend of mine the other day, he says it almost looks like an email program. The tools are really good, and it's quite easy to use. And given the changes to Groundspeak's website, the geocaching.com website, I've started trying to find, do I actually need GSAC anymore, and therefore do I need this Windows computer, which is getting slower and slower and slower, given it's only running on an Atom processor. So the question I'm asking you is, if you use a Macintosh for geocaching, what configuration do you have? What software tools do you use? How do you upload your Pocket queries into your GPS, and what other tools do you use? Because another one I've been using is GC Statistic, which is also on the Mac, although it's not being updated at the moment. Anyway, I'd love to hear from you. Send us an email or drop us a line, geotalkpodcast@gmail.com or 02-800-50-436. Well, now it's time to head across the Tasman over to Auckland to join Alan, Radio Nut 50.
Hey, hi, Darren, and hi to all the listeners from Radio Nut 50 from New Zealand. Well, I've got to start by mentioning the fantastic time I had in Sydney a few weeks ago. I had a trip over to the busy metropolis of Coomer for a few days, and after that, on the way home, I was able to call in on Darren, spend a couple of days with him and his family, and we did some caching in the Blue Mountains. That was kind of fun. It was really, really good to see this part of the world that I hadn't actually seen before. The only sort of down thought now is I've noticed in the media a fair bit of publicity of some fires in the area, so maybe some of it doesn't quite look as beautiful as it did when I was there, but it'll recover pretty quick, I'm sure. I'm sure there'll be more on this from Darren during this geotalk. The major geocaching activity that Butterfly Lady have been involved in recently, of course, is that Great New Zealand Mega Number 2, held in Albany in Auckland at the end of October. We headed up on the Friday and managed to join the Fish and Chips on the Beach event, which was kind of fun. Great social gathering, lots of people, weather not too nice, but really good to catch up with some of the people that we hadn't met for quite a while. After that came Saturday at Into the Main event. Well, we've made it to the famous second New Zealand Mega. We're at Albany. There's a big crowd of people in a room all gathered doing the meet and greet and photo competitions and all sorts of activities here today. We've bought a few travel bug tags that are for sale. And it's getting on for 10:30 where there's going to be a special announcement. So we're going to take our seats shortly and see what the announcement's all about. So we all settled down to our seats, and Steve, who caches under the name of Cats and Dragons, who was our efficient MC for the weekend, tried to get us all to quieten down a little bit.
Okay, everybody, the Kiwi Pluto is pretty much finished. The entry boxes are at the back for those that haven't already done. We're just sorted out the final technical difficulties here. If you give us some quiet in about 2 minutes, the people will be here. We'll be with you in a second.
Everyone eventually settled down. A Skype computer was produced and connected to the speakers. And wow, we ended up with a live connection to Groundspeak Geocaching Headquarters.
Okay, we've got Lilypad on the line here. And go ahead.
Hi! Can they see me? Yeah? We're good? We're good? Alright. Welcome to Geocaching HQ! So this is a HQ lobby. People will come to log the HQ geocache. I don't know if you can spot it, but I'm pretty sure with your geo-aware eyes, probably know where it's at. This is where people come, they buy all of their cool parts.
And
yep. Many geocaches, it's me, her. Yep, welcome.
We then had a pretty good tour all around the facility using Skype, which occasionally dropped out, but it was a great effort by everybody, and everybody thoroughly enjoyed a look around and meeting some people. And we then settled down with an interview with Jeremy and Brian, the famous founders of our wonderful hobby.
Well, it's the end of your day there, probably the end of a working week here. We're just starting the weekend with people from all over the world have come to see us, and very much appreciate your time and showing us around your facility. Obviously, without you guys, we'd have a lot less time to do things on the weekends, or in fact, probably more.
We have an amazing group of folks out there.
today.
Yeah, we've got people all the way from Sweden to the US, Australia, the UK, Portugal, and even here in New Zealand and Australia.
Wow. Well, I wish I was there. I really wish I was there. That would be awesome.
Yeah, I'm sure that we can get you lost on a hill somewhere. It's been known before.
Here's a friend. Here, why don't I I'll let you get a cheer up. Here.
Yeah, hi Brian, Steve here for Cats and Dragons. I got conned into this. Thanks very much for sending Signal along. He's making lots of friends, especially with the kids. And we've also got a Poopy running around somewhere in the back being nuts. We're just beginning the whole exercise. And a lot of people, I think, very shortly, are either going to join in the seminars or get out and do some of the lab cases that have released. So thank you for that.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah, I took a look at the lab caches. It looks like a lot of fun, and if we were a little bit closer, I think we'd love to participate.
I think they're getting very well received here because people always like something a little bit different. And we've certainly got that. We had a good turnout yesterday for the tramps and the walks around the city and in some of the regional parks. Of course, we had a fish and chips event last night. Nice to be held in the rain, of course. Just what you need to start the weekend. So what?
Well, we're used to the rain here in Seattle, although it's just overcast today and not too bad.
So what new things are Groundspeak up to that we'd love to know about?
I will say that the big thing that we're doing now is trying to get lab caches out, adventures out to events, like your event. We have seen a lot of people taking geocaches to events, and we weren't able to support because they were really temporary. So the idea here was to allow events to have geocaches that can be temporary, maybe even a little better than a cache that has to be maintained for a long period of time, and participate in that. So we're trying to make lab caching for adventures an easier thing to work on, so people have a lot of tools to make it a better experience, and by creating these builder tools, we can help support more mega events a lot quicker than kind of that input gets to now. What are we saying there?
Well, I think it's a great idea having lab caches around. Also, something I know that we've been trying to do here around this area is get more people to recognise some of the older caches around. And because without those, we wouldn't have the number of caches or cache placements out there. And often with some of the older caches, where they were placed are in some pretty magical spots. And I'm sure the same applies in your country as well.
Okay.
Yeah, when a
cache has
been around for a few years, it really does take on a great experience. They've been classic geocaches in this family. The community starts to maintain them even for the owner. We see that quite a bit. And then they get very protective of those caches, especially ones that have been around for 10 years. I have a couple of caches still around for 2 years of geocaching that actually the community maintains more than I do.
Okay, and with the block parties until next year, how can we get more Kiwis over there for that? We had a couple of representatives this year, I know for a fact. Apparently it was an awesome event, or at least one of the people who was there was raving about it and still telling us about it.
Well, you are all invited, so please come over. We'd love to have you, and we'd love to see you here at Geocaching HQ.
Yeah, we'd like to. We would love to add a plane ticket to bring a membership, but I don't think that's going to work.
Lucky duck.
I'm sure those plane tickets would be appreciated. Okay, we have one question here from Lirafat. And the question is, you just had the 31 days of geocaching for August. We had a great time doing it, but do you realise this is the depth of our winter? Can you do something for your winter, so it's in our summer?
Well, I will say that next year we're actually focused quite a bit on doing achievements. To try to do these kind of streets is really a fun thing to do. I don't know if you knew, but we actually have 26,000 accounts due every day of the month in August, which was 10 times more than we had the previous year. So I can definitely see when our system gets updated so we can support other kinds of activities to start doing more regional achievements or souvenirs like that, so we can address the different climates.
Hi, I don't know if you can hear me. I don't really have a question, but I helped organize the event, and I know we're going to have three really busy days ahead of us, and I just wanted you to leave these guys with some sort of message of encouragement for all the hours and hours and hours of rushing around we're going to be doing 3 days for you guys.
So Red Bull, usually my drink of choice.
Well, listen, we know that it takes a lot of work to craft the geocaching event and to really pull it off. And so the fact that all of you have taken your free time to show up and do this is a testament to the power of the community and just how strong of a group there is down in New Zealand. And so for us sitting here in Seattle, it's too wonderful to see all of you showing up and getting ready to go out and have a fun time together. And I think we wish we could be here. We're happy it's Friday, and we hope you guys have a fantastic time at the event this week.
Yeah, I have to say that, you know, maybe a lot of exercise coming up ahead of you, but there's a lot of fun activity that's rewarding. I always think of a good sweat. It was always worth the coffee.
Okay, wait for someone to turn off the Skype, and yeah, we've got patience flying now.
Have a great time.
Nice to talk to you guys.
Right, we're sitting in the car, and we're going to go and have a look for our third lab cache. It's just across the road from here. We've found two of them, and we'll see if we can describe what it's like when we get there. So coming up soon will be our searching for our third of the series of five lab caches. Okay, we're walking up to a very large sculpture-looking item following the GPS. There's a few other caches about gets a bit public, this hobby, after a while. And we're looking for a fairly conspicuous sign. GPS just went beep. Can't see anything at this point. Got to be something here. In the grass? In the grass, what have we found? We've found something. We've found a container. And we're looking generally for a fairly conspicuous sign, but we haven't seen it yet. We'll see what's inside the box, shall we? What's in there, Linda?
Yeah, can't open it.
Ah, needs a bit of a pull. Righto. There we go. Nothing in there, so we have to find the object. We've got to find a key word here. Not very successful yet. Wonder if it went missing. Maybe we have to try something associated with the object of art here. We'll just take a pause. Right, looks like we might have found it. We expected a fairly conspicuous sign here, which is what we found at all the other places. But this time, we're standing next to a piece of art, which I guess is supposed to be looking like a pizza oven, because the case is called Pizza for Giants. And we found a sign, and it calls the name of the piece of art, and it says the word Luna. And putting that word in gave us the keyword, so we're making progress still. Better go off to the next one next.
31 metres.
Now this one had a traditional case next door to it, and it was only 30 metres away, so I'm pushing my way through a garden, 6 metres away from the waypoint according to this. There's a few other caches around again, probably thinking we're kind of nuts. Not succeeding with the bush bashing method. Having a look now, this here says I'm 4 metres from GZ. You'd think there'd be some marks with 500 or 600 caches looking around, scratching through the bush.
Any luck?
No luck yet. We're looking for a
a V bottle, I think. Haven't found anything. There's a dead rabbit here, but I don't think that's what we're looking for. Unless it's a special way to camouflage things. Geez, it, according to my GPS, is right here.
I can't get it.
It wouldn't be in the flax bush, surely.
No.
Hope not. What's the dead rabbit? Can't see a thing. The dead rabbit is right on GZ. Might be an experienced acacia who sort of stayed a bit long. Yes. Ah! I heard it. Here it is over here. A long way from where we are. In a bush. We found another little bottle. Excellent.
So we continued on the chase of these lab caches. What we had were five special caches set up each day, five on the first day and five on the second day. Each cache, you get a waypoint, and it comes up as a web page where you have to type in a keyword. Once you've found the cache, there's a traditional box there with a log, and you've got to look for the keyword. And as I mentioned with that last search, in the first couple we found there was a big sign with the logo of the mega and the word written on it. The next couple took a little bit more to look for. The last one we went to was at a historic library which was closed, and there we were on the veranda looking for keywords.
Does library work?
We are finding out.
What does it say? Remember at?
Yes. Mon. M-O-N-S-T-E-D-T is what I wrote. M-O-N-S-T-E-D-T. Yeah, didn't like that. Clue is... Oh, here we go. Your clue is the top shelf immediately to the left of the Roll of Honour plaques.
Hobbies.
Hobbies. See, that's obvious, isn't it? Just read the diagram.
Read it. B-B-I-E-S.
What I'm writing. And submit. Come on, talk to me. This is when you lose coverage or something.
That's his fault.
Yes, it's hobbies. Phew. Maybe if we read the instructions, life is easier. Well, on a nice, peaceful Saturday evening, we're just standing around out in front of a mall in Albany, nearby the venue of our Great New Zealand Mega Event. There's a flash mob due to start in about 3 or 4 minutes with a whistle blow, and people have got their torches. They should be hiding them in their pocket, ready to shine them on the mall and surprise people. It's going to be a mega flash mob. One or two, like 200 or 300, have sort of got it a bit wrong and started gathering already, but when the whistle blows, we'll see how many people turn up. Dogs are all excited. Is that supposed to be the whistle? We've got a better whistle. Well, we're all shining our torches. There's a few hundred people. They're not quite following instructions now, pointing at them all. There's a few laser lights here. There's a few lightsabers. A few innocent diners wondering what's going on. And we'll do as we're told and go this way. We were supposed to be logging. So that was our flash mob. We're not sure where we're going now. We're walking towards a bridge across the lake in front of the mall. Lots of lights still flashing.
So that was our Saturday at the Mega in Auckland. On Sunday, we had an opening ceremony in the morning, followed by us disappearing off with a lot of other people and catching a few caches in the area. We enjoyed some great walks in the Auckland coastline. In the evening, there was a fun prize giving, and the event was drawing to a close. It was a heck of a lot of fun for all of us. Thanks to the guys who organised it. Thanks for those who came along. Let's all enjoy a mega event sometime again in the near future. Okay, rounding off this comment from New Zealand, I would like to call attention to some discussion that's going on online about the future of the New Zealand GPS Society. This is the organisation that was first formed to represent geocaches in our country. It was at a time when there was some concern being raised by the Department of Conservation, who are the body that run all our national parks. At that time, this department had indicated they'd only deal with a properly incorporated society, and they were considering banning geocaching entirely from all parks. That specific challenge was handled very well, and things have moved on somewhat from then, and the society over time widened its scope to include other GPS activities. Our flagship's been the forums on the webpage gps.org.nz, plus bringing forth the first mega event in New Zealand last year in Dunedin. Well, the activity on the forums has dropped off significantly this year, so the committee's asking members and all geocachers where to from here. Wonder what is the direction the society should move to now. Maybe the days of online forums have gone, replaced by social media. We really do need thoughts from as many people as possible. So if you have a chance, how about you go to forums.gps.org.nz, scroll down near the bottom to the area entitled Society, and have a look through the thread called The Future of Our Society. Your comment really is invited. Okay, that's it from me today, Darren. It's been a heck of a lot of New Zealand in today's podcast, hasn't there? All the best to everybody, and back to you.
Well, thank you, Alan, for that really great sort of sample of what went on over at the New Zealand Mega event. I know I went to the first one last year and had a great time down in Dunedin, even though it was really cold, and it was great to meet Brian Roth. Obviously, he was there in that Skype call, along with, I think it was Jeremy as well, and certainly the Kiwis are doing themselves pretty proud. The fact that they've been able to hold two mega events in only 12 months, and the second one with less than 12 months of planning is something to behold. And I'm hopefully keeping my fingers crossed that I might be able to make it across the ditch for another one in the not-too-distant future. Don't forget, Australia's next mega event will be occurring at Murray Bridge over the Easter long weekend. That's in April next year in 2014. And then they've also got Stanhope, I think it is, over in Queensland, slotted for 2015, and Queanbeyan/Canberra for 2016. So there's some mega events that are occurring around Australia, and I think New Zealand is planning to have one again next year. We might hear some more from Alan in the not-too-distant future. Well, it's time to quickly turn to the mailbag and have a look what's there. First of all, an email we got from Landmonkey over in Canada, who said thank you for the shout out in last episode, and congratulations also for the 100 episodes. They're now going back and listening to all the previous ones. It would certainly be interesting, I think, to do that. I might have to do that myself one day. I know that trainee diplomat Dan in Canberra said he enjoyed listening to a lot of them when he got back to Australia. And we got another one from Steve Whidden, also known as Stephen W54, who also says congratulations to yourself and Radio Nut 50 on a great job on reaching 100 episodes of Geo Talk. And Stephen's from California in the US. Now, this is one of the interesting things about Geo Talk is at the moment we seem to have more listeners from the United States than we do from Australia and New Zealand. So I'm not too sure what's going on there. So we'd appreciate any Australian or New Zealand listeners to spread the word about Geo Talk. Tell all your friends, or maybe drop a note or drop a card or mention it at a geocaching event about the podcast, because the more we'd love to have more listeners, and I'd love to have more feedback and more voices in the show. We also got another email from Mark. Mark Seabury, Seabury Oz, and he's been travelling around the country. Started in Perth, and they've made a way across the top of Australia. And he says at the end of October, they've now reached the sunny Queensland coast, and they're doing a bit of sightseeing, geocaching, and waymarking, being spoilt for choice with all the thousands of caches and dozens of waymarks around. And they recently reached a milestone of 250 waymarks logged, now heading towards the 500. And they've also added 100 post office waymarks. And I know that the reason he mentions that is because I'm the creator of the Australian Post Office waymark category. If you haven't tried waymarking, give it a go. I'll give you a link to an app that you can use. It's not really a standalone app. It's an online app. You need to be online if you want to try waymarking, or if you've tried it before and found it frustrating. That'll be in the show notes on geotalkpodcast.com. Anyway, thanks for that, Mark. We look forward to seeing you, and hopefully you'll be in Sydney in the next few weeks. We might even catch up with you and see how you're going. And another email we've got here from Adrian Homburg, who wants to highlight a YouTube video, which we'll give you a link to in the show notes. Now, for those of you in Melbourne, you probably heard about this, and some people wider afield, about a trip to China to find a very unloved cache. It was a cache that was begging for a first to find, and this group, this trio of geocaches have headed over to China to claim the first to find on this geocache. Amazing video. Check out the link. I'll give it to you in the show notes at geotalkpodcast.com. And it also, it spurred me, and I'll mention it next episode, to complete a challenge, which is one of the reasons why they went for this geocache. But anyway, that's from Adrian Homburg, also known as A. Homburg, down in Melbourne. And finally, we've got a call in from Marcelo, Darth Trader from the Hunter Valley, who's actually over in Rome.
G'day, Geo Talk. It's Darth Trader calling in. You can probably hear the river down there. I'm calling in from Rome, and that's the Tiber River. I'm standing underneath the Ponte Fabricio, I think. I struggle with my Italian a bit. Just doing an earth cache. I've been visited England. Found about five caches there. I'm going back there next week, so hopefully find a few more. I've been up around Tuscany and found half a dozen caches up there, and now I've been touring Rome with the family and been able to grab a few more. I've just nipped off this morning while my good wife packs up the house, and we head off to Paris today. So I wanted to get this Tiber Island earth cache. Been having a great time. There's some great caching, but all the ones in town, they're all those little micros, and there's plenty of tourists around. You've got to be pretty sneaky, and haven't been able to grab as many as I wanted to because, you know, you've got three kids as well. But great time. It's taken me to a couple of awesome spots as well. But looking forward to bringing some of these travel bugs I've found home and getting them circulating around Australia too. Okay, Darth Trader, signing out. Keep on caching.
Well, that's all for this episode of Geo Talk. In our next episode, we're going to head up into the Blue Mountains. First of all, before the bushfires, when Radio Nut 50 and I spent a day up in the Blue Mountains looking for some geocaches. And then we're going to head back after the bushfires to have a look at what effect the fires have had, not only on geocaching, but also on the local community. Until next time, safe geocaching.